Hello and welcome to Como Explained. It's a podcast from the KBIA newsroom. We take the thorny issues and politics that affect our community and we break them down. I'm Scott Pham, the digital content director here at KBIA. My co-host today, as always, is Ryan Femuliner. But today we're also going to try something a little different. Today we're also joined by a third co-host, Laura Wegman. Laura, how you doing?
Hi, Laura.
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Laura, you come to us from the Columbia Tribune, the local newspaper, where you're the city editor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we thought you'd be a really perfect fit for the show because you know a lot more about this city than we do.
We'll test my knowledge today, sure.
Setting you up as the expert here to make my day easier. Yeah. So today we are talking about taxes because everybody loves to talk about taxes.
They obviously. Do. Absolutely. It's so fun.
It's the
exciting, exciting topic.
Yeah, it's an exciting topic. But so the reason why we wanted to do this show was that a little while ago, Mayor Bob McDavid proposed an increase in the property tax to pay for an increase in the police force. He actually backed off on that really recently, and he said, no, actually, we have enough money. We don't need to raise the city property tax to pay for this. But it got us thinking. We started wondering, what are all the weird little taxes that go into your local tax dollar? We got taxes for development. We got taxes for parks. We got taxes for specific parks, specific developments. Do people actually know what those taxes are, where their tax dollars are going?
Yeah, a breakdown of all of that. That's the plan today, is to let you realize where your money is actually going and maybe a little bit of what it does too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Laura, I thought you could start off and explain to us how taxes are passed in Missouri, because taxes are – they're basically like laws, right? But they're special laws. They work a little bit differently.
Sure. Essentially, you know, depending on whether you're talking about a state tax or a local tax, oftentimes these are put to the voters the way certain taxes like the 911 tax was recently that passed in Boone County. Or, you know, earlier this year, the General Assembly talked about passing a 1 cent transportation tax. And the purpose of that was to fix Missouri's highways, essentially. MoDOT has had a funding crisis. Some people think that tolls are a way to go. Other people think a sales tax is a way to go. And the reason that they would put that to the voters is basically if you're going to raise taxes over a certain amount of the general revenue, you have to basically put it to the voters. By state law. So a lot of times that's what ends up happening. I'm not sure on the local level what the thresholds for that sort of thing are, but generally, you know, a property tax or a sales tax increase, you're going to see that go onto a ballot. And that's something that was proposed in terms of what Ryan mentioned earlier with the property tax. They talked about putting that on the November ballot. So when, you know, for that to happen, the Columbia City Council will have to basically propose and pass an ordinance by a certain date, which I think it's probably coming up pretty soon, to put that on the November ballot.
Yeah. So first they have to pass it amongst each other.
Right.
And then we have to pass it.
Right.
All right. So and we elect those councilmen. So I guess in a way, we only have ourselves to blame for all of these taxes.
If they come to. Yeah. But the other thing that's interesting, I mean, we'll get to it too, throughout the show, but is that Columbia has a pretty good record of passing these things. Once they get to the ballot, Columbia seems to support most taxes that come through. Obviously, you know, I'm not saying voters just blindly pass anything that comes to their table, but it's a community that does pass taxes more often than it doesn't lately anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true, especially lately. You know, if you look back the past few years, there's been very recently, like I mentioned, the 911 tax and, you know, some others we'll talk about a little later. But and then, you know, I think maybe 3 or so years ago, there were some tax increases related to Columbia Public Schools, and that was related to building Battle High School and some new elementaries. And people were supportive of that, even though a few years previously, there were some school issues that did not pass. And so it kind of depends, I think, on how whatever the public entity is perceived at the time and, you know, the reason for asking for the money, too, and if there's public perception that it's going to be well managed and the project is worthwhile, like Battle High School, I think, got that support for those reasons.
Yeah. So we end up getting this situation that's kind of complex, too, right? Like where we're passing all these little taxes that have specific projects and goals attached to them, which makes them easier to pass and makes them theoretically easier to understand. But instead of all this money going into a general fund, we actually have this money going all over the place to little things all over the city.
Right. Yeah. Most of them are very specific. And I think by design, because if you just say, oh, we're going to raise this money and spend it on parks, or we're going to spend it on, you know, the police or something, people are maybe less likely to vote if they don't feel assured that the projects are worthwhile. Like, for instance, when, you know, a recent parks tax that passed a few years ago, they had a very specific list of here's the things we're going to do with this money. Mm-hmm. And then they periodically review that and update it for the next park tax extension.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, say you were, if you went the other direction and just put everything into general revenue, as you were saying, Scott, that there's actually an extra element of transparency here, right? I mean, you do know where this money's going, but I guess there's, you can also make an argument that down the line, this money's pigeonholed and maybe you don't need that money for the police department in 10 years, but it's still there, right? So there's the, kind of a give and take there, but at least at the ballot box, you know what you're voting for and you know what's going on. And hopefully you realize how long you're going to be paying it and what it means.
Right. And not that, I mean, those things can change. It might bring in less revenue than was expected, which probably happened over the last few years in terms of, you know, during the recession, lower tax revenue coming in. So probably some projects that would have gotten done didn't get done. But yeah, overall, at least you know going into it, this is what I would be paying for. And then maybe you forget about it after a while, but at least you
–
yeah.
We'll talk about that. Okay, so when you pay your taxes, typically – and when we're talking about local taxes here, not state or federal, typically you're paying it to the county. Now, the dollars aren't going to stay there necessarily. Some of them will, but a lot of them are going to come back to the city. So the county is kind of the organ of tax collection generally.
Right.
And one thing that the county does that the city doesn't is they have this position called an assessor, and he's basically the guy who figures out how the property tax works. Because unlike sales tax, property tax is a little bit flexible. It fluctuates in relationship to how or what our revenue needs are and the growth of the city that would naturally add to their property tax pool.
Mm-hmm. Right? And then the other thing that's implied in that name too is that the assessor also, his office is responsible for assessing properties in the community and figuring out how much they're worth and how much each individual property should be taxed, right, based on the value of your home or the perceived value of your home. I guess that's one thing to talk about is how realistic those are, how often they're actually accurate. I don't know. I know, Scott, I don't think you've ever looked at buying a home, but rarely is the assessed value and the price of the home the same. There's almost always a big difference.
Yeah, they're usually quite different, and it's because I think they don't reassess them real regularly as much as you would if you were buying or selling real estate. Like, you know, my house as an example, I think the appraised value they have through the county assessor is about $15,000 different than the actual appraised value when we bought the home 3 years ago. So
$15,000 in a good way for you?
Well, it's in a good way for me because, yeah. And it probably is for most, at least residential property owners as well, that it's assessed, appraised low. So your assessed valuation that you're paying property taxes on is also lower than the amount perhaps that you bought it for, which works in your favor. So
it's nice when you're paying your property taxes. It might not be as nice if you're going to sell your home because then you have, but
right.
Most people understand the same thing we're talking about here, that
right.
Assessed value, you take it with a grain of salt. You know, you look at the house and figure out for yourself how much it's worth based on other properties out there.
Right.
But, yeah. So if you live in the city of Columbia, you're going to be paying 41 cents per $100 of assessed value. But you're not paying it on the assessed value of the entire home. For some reason, you're paying it on 19% of their assessed value. Right?
It's, yeah. I mean, they've got two different numbers if you look up the information on the county's website. And the number that's closer to the value, the actual worth of the home, they term as appraised value. And then the assessed value is a much lower number, which is the 19% you mentioned. That's what you're actually paying your property taxes on. And then, you know, there's another kind of property taxes, too, where you're paying that on, say, your cars or your boats or whatever. And that's actually an entirely separate bill. And so sometimes there's confusion between those two things as well.
That was a huge relief the first time I paid my property taxes because I didn't realize the 19% thing existed. And I thought, I can't pay that
much. $25,000.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of money laying around.
Maybe home owning isn't for me.
Yeah,
that's a bad idea.
That's why everybody's foreclosing right now. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. Laura, you agreed very nicely to let us use your house as an example.
Sure.
So it sounds like I'm asking a personal question. I feel really weird about it. But how much do you pay in property tax?
Well, according to my 2012 real estate property tax bill, I paid almost $1,800 in real estate property tax. The total was $1,791.05. And so that breaks down, you know, that includes school, city, county, library, everything put together. And it breaks it down very nicely for you by dollar amount so you can see how much you're paying to each specific entity.
Yeah.
So I can go through some of those if you want, or the highlights.
Yeah, well, what's interesting, I thought, well, because I've rented my whole life. I don't know much about homeowning. But the number, the total tax that you paid was over 6.4%, right? And which, like, to me seemed a lot higher than I thought it would be, because in the city, just the city, you pay 41 cents per hundred. But your total is several times that, 6.4. There's a lot of things that go into the property tax.
Right. So if you look at the breakdown, you can see that, the number, the 6.43, that's my total tax value per $100 of assessed value. Most of that goes to Columbia Public Schools. The rate for that is 5.4019. But basically what that amounts to out of my $1,800 tax bill is about $1,500. So I'm paying, you know, the lion's share of that tax bill to the schools. But then the library, I pay Boone County Library District. They get about an $85 chunk as well. So that's, I guess, the second largest one. No, City of Columbia is the second largest. Yeah, that's $114. So, you know.
Right. So that's property taxes. And we're talking about that because that's the one McDavid wanted to raise. But typically when we raise taxes, we center on the sales tax. There's lots of little sales taxes that go a lot of different places, right? So let's talk about that for a second.
Sure. Okay. Well, you mentioned just a moment ago that we passed some new sales taxes just recently.
In the past year, there's two significant ones.
Right. And one of those is that, what's it called?
It's the Children's Services Fund. It's like a county tax. It's a quarter cent. And basically, it's to pay for mental health issues, prevention and treatment of mental health issues for children and teenagers, essentially. So that was passed back in November, and they started collecting it in April.
Right. And then the other one we passed was this 911 sales tax that passed in April. It'd be collected starting in this October, so that's a 3/8 cent sales tax.
Right.
They're going to pay anywhere in Boone County, so I'll be paying that in Ashland as well.
Right.
And that's expected to collect $9.3 million.
Right. So that's going to be going on for years. So, collecting the money for that hasn't even started yet. So it's definitely going to be a long time in the works.
Right.
Yeah. So let's break this down a little bit. So we pay sales tax to the state and also locally. We pay more to the state. We pay 4.225% on basically all our goods to the state, everything that we buy retail. And then on top of that, there's another 3.375% locally. So even though we have a lot of local taxes, we're really nickel and diming it, right? Little eighths of a percent here, eighth of a percent there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the total comes out to 7.6% retail in Columbia, 4.6% for foods, groceries.
Right, which I had to go find my Hy-Vee receipt. You can hear it.
That's how you know what's real, because it cringles.
Yes. We'll talk more about Hy-Vee later, actually, where you can go to the cheapest tax rates at Hy-Vees. I didn't go there on this Hy-Vee trip. But it actually separates it out. If you look at your receipt the next time you go and buy food, I had paid 8.225% tax, which we'll talk about. There's an extra tax when I go to the store. But it separated out how much I spent on non-food goods while I was there. And then it had the lower rate for food goods. 5.22% on that. So it just separates that out. And again, that state tax is what everybody pays, right? Everybody pays that base rate of 4.225, and then each local entity has this other, like, extra base rate before we get to these other taxes on top of it that sometimes have to do with where you're shopping and where you're buying things.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about that. Why do you pay more at Hy-Vee than you do somewhere else?
It's because of these transportation development districts, okay?
Yeah.
So these are basically these entities that are created that are able to collect these taxes so that they're able to create new developments inside these shopping districts. A lot of them are like these strip malls you see all around town.
Right. It's strip anything from strip malls up to like your largest shopping developments in town, like the Columbia Mall.
Yeah. So typically they're somewhere around an extra 0.5% or 0.6% on top of our local taxes. So at every TDD, Transportation Development District, you're going to be paying either, it looks like, 8.1% or 8.225%. Now, I shop at the Hy-Vee that's on Conley Road. And I know that that's a TDD because it says on the receipt and they say in the store, like, oh, there's an extra sales tax here when you shop here. And I always thought that I was missing out on savings by going somewhere else just because I happen to live closer to that one. And then I did research for this show, and it looks like you basically can't shop anywhere without running into one of these TDDs.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, at least the Hy-Vees and Walmarts, they all have because, you know, those are all lumped together throughout town. They all have one of these TDDs. There is one that has a slightly lower rate than the other two.
Yeah, which one is that, Ryan?
It is the Broadway Fairview one, the one on West Broadway. But
the West Broadway?
The West Broadway location only has an 8.1% tax rate total, counting your base rates. It's 8.225 at the other two. So if you're going to make your decision solely on how much sales tax you pay on which Hy-Vee you're going to go to, that might be the best
one
for you.
Save that 1/8 percent.
That's your takeaway.
It's pretty
for
awesome.
The show, I think.
Shopping tips. Well, and we'll explain.
One thing to point out, I think, about these, that if people don't really understand what they are, I mean, the reason these large developments, you know, if you're shopping there, you get hit with this tax, is because these large developments demand infrastructure. Like, you have to have sufficient roads leading to the site. And so the developers collect this extra tax to help them pay for that, you know, to develop the area so they can handle the traffic that it gets. So it's not just like they're trying, you know, they're finding the biggest amount of suckers they can find to pay an extra tax so they get more money. It's because they know it's going to draw a huge amount of people. They need to be able to support it.
Right.
Yeah. So these guys are basically everywhere. And I listed out on my notes here where everyone is, though I realized afterwards that it doesn't make a lot of sense to talk about them, right? Because it's basically any place there's a lot of stores next to each other, you can guess that there's going to be a TDD there, right?
Yeah, there's a good chance of it. Yeah.
There are a few exceptions, though, right? As far as like grocery stores go, I think,
right?
Like the Forum, I think it's what's out there. Is that Schnucks there?
Yeah, I don't think there is a TDD.
I don't think there is one there.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, probably the Gerb stores as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's on the opposite side.
Are not within TDDs
of Providence where there isn't one. So there are, again, if that's the way you're going to make your decision, but you're talking about, again, a 0.5% of sales tax.
Most people aren't even going to notice, you know.
No.
So
no.
Yeah. So and also the Aldi's on Business Loop, and we were talking about Business Loop because that's probably the largest area of shopping. If you can call Business Loop a shopping area, it's probably the largest like place that you can buy things that doesn't have a TDD. Laura, you and I were talking about this. It seems like it kind of needs one, right?
Right. So. Well, you know, that has been discussed a little bit, but not in terms of a TDD necessarily, but like, say, a TIF district, a tax increment financing that would sort of reinvest some of the property and sales tax increases to further develop the area. That's kind of been tossed around at times, although the idea kind of died out a while back. But it's another way to improve areas that maybe could use a boost.
Right. And there are some weird ones, too, where they haven't really developed yet, right? There's a Blue Ridge Town Center. Where is that, Ryan?
That one is... It's
south of Blue Ridge Road, and it's between Providence and Rangeline.
Right. Okay. And there's just like nothing there?
There's essentially nothing there. The property has changed hands a couple times over the last few years. And right now there's no public plans for the development. You know, it changed hands again last fall, and then they raised their TDD tax, even though there's nothing there to pay it on. So that would seem to signify maybe they're planning something for the spot, but as of right now, there's really nothing going on.
Right. And they're really, they're not generating any money anyway because nobody's spending any money through this tax anyway because nobody's spending any money because
there's no storefronts there.
There's no sales happening,
right.
At least legal sales happening on that property.
Right. I mean, presumably there will be, but yeah, right now there's, yeah, right. Nobody's paying the higher tax.
Yeah, so you are not being fleeced yet, taxpayers. Nothing happening there.
But the other one that's funny, and for a couple, Northwoods is another one on Smiley and Rangeline, kind of in that same area of town, that I haven't driven over there for a while, but last time I was there, I don't remember a whole lot of shopping there. It looked like from the Google map satellite image that I could see, it looks like there's really only a Taco Bell and Midmo Chiropractic, which I don't think there's a lot of sales tax being charged there. Maybe if you're selling, I don't know, some sort of brace for your back or something like that, but not a lot of sales tax coming from there. But
yeah.
I don't know if we can go to this. This has actually been in the news in the last day or two.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The Transportation Development District. The state auditor just released a report basically detailing all of these transportation districts throughout the state that owe some money because of fines based on reporting that they need to do to the auditor's office. And a lot of Columbia ones showed up on that list. There are only maybe 150 or so transportation development districts in the state, and maybe 50 of them, a little less than that, had these violations. In Columbia, we have 13 of these districts, and 8 of them had violations, so a much higher percentage. Most of them in the area had them. And this Northwoods is one of them. And they actually could owe up to $964,000 in fines for the last 3 years, which I don't know about if a Taco Bell raised that much money from a
point, 1/8 of a percent
from a half percent sales tax. I don't know how much business that Taco Bell gets. But now that said, these TDDs, because they're so unusual, you have private interests involved as well. They're kind of always a mess.
Right.
So, yeah, well, the auditor said part of the problem is that it's not clear in the laws who is supposed to collect that money, whose job it is to collect that money.
Yeah, I think there have been some problems with oversight and collection at several sites, not just in Columbia, but around the state. And this pops up every time they have an audit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't see how they're going to get that amount of money out of Northwoods, for instance, either. He kind of tempered it with language of could owe and things like that. It was definitely kind of, okay, we may not actually enforce this, but this is what we found. So somebody figure out how we can start collecting these and actually enforcing it. Because if you don't enforce it, people aren't going to change, right? They're not going to bother reporting if you don't have to pay the fines anyway.
Right.
So that's kind of the whole auditor's point with this story. But anyway, there's how that story makes sense. If you heard the 45-second version in a morning newscast or saw a headline and didn't know what it meant, that's what we're talking about here, is these districts throughout our town that and towns all across the state that apparently just don't have great bookkeeping, at least communication with the state.
Okay. Explained.
All right. There you go.
We should also mention that even downtown is not immune to this, that there's an 8.1% tax downtown. Because that's obviously not a new district, it's a different instrument that collects that tax. It's called a community improvement district. Similar idea. We won't go too far into it. So let's talk about some other taxes because we got a bunch to go through.
Well, so there are two things that when you do them here in Columbia, you're going to have to pay extra taxes. Actually, one of them is something you're going to have to pay anywhere you are in the state, and that's if you buy cigarettes, right? You have to pay a 17-cent per pack tax on cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's something that comes up a lot in the state because cigarette taxes in Missouri are much lower than they are in most states. Actually, I lied. There are three things you can do. The other one is getting gas, right? Gassing up your car. That one is also very low in the state. 17 cents a gallon is also among the lowest in the country. A great example is if you've been in St. Louis, near the Illinois border. If you drive over the border in St. Louis, all of a sudden gas is 20 or 30 cents more expensive. And it's not because of shipping routes. It's because of the state sales tax that is by the gallon. That's one thing we talked about. I talked about this on our bridge show, didn't we?
We did talk about this on the bridge show. And that's because the gas tax is typically the main, sometimes the only instrument of funding road improvements and bridge improvements. So, you know, if roads are bad in Missouri and you're noticing that they aren't getting fixed quickly enough, you can blame at least partially the low gas tax.
Right. Okay, the third thing, there were three, not two. The third thing that you can do and get taxed on here in Columbia is if you stay at a hotel.
And that is the bed tax,
which that's something that also comes up pretty often because it's a 4% tax rate right now. That goes to the Convention and Visitors Bureau. But it's something that many people are – when we're looking at new taxes, people are eyeing. I know it's something that they've been targeting when talking about airline and airport improvements.
Right.
You know, the city leaders were saying, hey, let's raise this. But then the hotel lobbies aren't too interested in that.
Yeah, they opposed that and it kind of died down. They were really opposed to it. The thing is a hotel tax, since local residents generally aren't paying it, they're usually kind of amenable to increasing that. And in the case of Columbia, as they talked about, using it for the airport because it's earmarked for, I think, tourism and economic development purposes right now. And so, of course, city leaders were arguing, well, this fits in that mold. We should, you know, use some of that money for the airport. But, the hospitality industry was strongly opposed to that.
So another part of your sales tax, another part of that local tax that you pay is for parks. And this surprised me when I was doing the research, actually, because I always kind of figured that parks are part of general funds somehow. But apparently we have a specific tax just for parks. That is a 1/4 cent tax for 5 years. And it's split up in this really complicated way. Half of that 1/4 cent goes to general park stuff. That's upkeep and fixing picnic tables and that kind of thing. And the other half is for special projects. So it was passed in 2000 partially to purchase Stevens Lake when Stevens College was trying to sell it off. So the city bought that, put some money into it, fixed it up, and made it a public thing that people enjoy now. And then 5 years later, it sunset, and it was supposed to be renewed. And they had another plan for a part of that tax. And that was when they were going to – and we talked about this in a previous show. That was when they were going to try to get use city money to build a permanent facility for the farmers market. And that failed. But for some reason, that part failed, but the other 1/8 cent went through. So we have that 1/8 cent tax that goes to general funds. In 2010, we passed it again, so now we're back to 1/4 cent paying for parks.
Right. And then along those lines, there's some other taxes that one of them was passed several years ago, like the parks tax, and it's known as Prop L. And that's a law enforcement tax. And some people might have thought of this when they heard about the recent property tax increase proposal. Well, don't we already pay a tax that goes to law enforcement? But Prop L is different than what's being proposed for the police department. It's a countywide tax rather than a city tax. It's an 1/8 cent, and most of it goes to the county sheriff's department, and including the jail. Like the lion's share of that goes to the county, and then some of it goes to stuff like the prosecuting attorney's office and that kind of thing. So that's already out there, passed in 2002. And then more recently, there's been a couple other countywide taxes that we mentioned earlier, that Children's Services Fund for the mental health services, and then the 911 tax, which is still about to start being collected soon, and they're going to build a new facility to house 911 operations and hire a bunch more staff and that kind of thing with that money.
Yeah, I guess that's one thing important thing to point out. All these numbers we've been throwing at you actually will increase in October, right? Because we're going to – Columbia will start collecting.
Right.
Or the county will start collecting this higher tax. So
right.
Throughout the county, you'll be paying a little bit more than you had been.
Yeah, they'll have to redo the math. I refuse to do it this time. You do it, Ryan.
No, I'm not good at the math. I've tried to do it. I was trying to figure out how much Laura's house was worth. That's what I was trying to do. But I can't reverse engineer it, so I give up.
So to put this into context, most of what we're talking about is some portion of that 3.375% local tax. So we're really talking about little portions of what's a pretty small tax. When you look at the whole budget, and the budget is actually really, really big. Taxes are just the second largest source of funds. Most of the revenue that the city gets is from fees and services.
And they're also raising money through money that's going to utility, electric, sewer, storm. I mean, the fees that are paying directly for the services that are part of the budget, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's not just these auxiliary funds that are coming in that go into the general revenue or are pigeonholed for these different projects.
Right. It's your gas and electric bill. It's all those things.
Right.
Yeah. So taxes are just 17% of the budget. The total budget is $382 million. And half of that, as you said, goes to utilities.
Right. I wonder how does that compare to other states or other cities our size, things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the questions I started with when I was thinking about how this show breaks down. I realized how hard it is to make these comparisons, you know, because it's like, how do you measure these things? You can't just put one tax and compare it to another, right? Because, for instance, if you look at the city property tax in Columbia, you can't really compare it to the city property tax in Ashland, because our property tax includes the fire and police, and yours doesn't. So it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Right. Yeah, and it's easier when you're just comparing one to another, I guess. You know, if I'm holding up my bill next to Laura's, it's a little easier to figure it all out. But yeah, when you're just trying to do a large scale comparison, you're right. I guess it would be difficult to try to figure out exactly what the difference is. But
another thing that makes it hard to compare is that, you know, when you look at these breakdowns of, oh, well, this is only X percent of Columbia's budget, the fact that we do have that city utility really skews things, because, yes, a huge proportion of what the money that goes out and the money that comes in is related to the utility. So it's this pretty large share of the budget that makes everything else look small by comparison. But I mean, the utility brings its own money. And so to say, for instance, the Parks Department brings in a lot of its own money through people paying to play in sports leagues and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of hard to compare between the departments and say, well, tax isn't really that big of a thing, because it is. It's just skewed in the direction of those things that bring in revenue as well. So,
yeah. When people compare taxes to other places, I think what they're often doing is kind of cherry-picking their favorite taxes, you know? Like, people compare Missouri taxes to Kansas all the time. But if you look at our sales tax, for instance, we actually have a lower sales tax on average in Missouri than they do in Kansas. So generally, people probably are not talking about sales tax when they're making that comparison. They're talking about something else.
I think you're just not from the area, so you don't understand that we just like to compare ourselves to Kansas.
Yeah, I know. Is it weird that I just keep harping on this? You're like, let it alone, Scott.
It will never go away. Kansas and Missouri will butt heads forever, no matter what, SEC or not. One of the reasons why we always compare, it's a fairly similar state. Obviously, they don't have as many large cities as we do, but has a pretty similar economy.
And we compete with them for business, so yes. I think that's a big piece of it.
Oh, the Kansas City area especially. Yeah. We talked about that on the show, too. That's kind of out of control, the situation over there right now.
Right.
Yeah. So probably a better comparison, a better way to compare is to compare cities within cities within Missouri, because at least then you have a few things that are stable.
Mm-hmm. I kind of looked through the list of the total sales tax rates of cities and counties throughout Missouri. It seemed like, you know, what we have here is pretty comparable to, you know, similar size areas throughout the state. Like if you look at Springfield, Joplin, St. Joseph, you know, suburban areas of Casey or St. Louis, it varied. There's a lot of variation. I mean, if you look at, you know, as we saw earlier, Columbia has a million different sales tax rates just within Columbia because of all the special districts and stuff. And that's the same in most cities across the state. So, I mean, they range anywhere from rural areas that only charge like a percent more above the state sales tax all the way up to, you know, in the about 10.5% range in some of these places with TDDs.
Okay. You think we explained it? You guys got anything else?
I don't think so.
I think that's good.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Laura.
You're welcome.
It was fun. It was fun to get another voice in here, open it up a little bit.
Someone who actually knew what they were talking about.
Don't have to look
helps.
At Ryan's face all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that's going to do it for Como Explained. I'm Scott Pham. My co-hosts are Ryan Femuliner and Laura Wegman. Give us a listen each Wednesday. That's when the show goes up. Find us on kbia.org or even better, the iTunes store. Just search for Como Explained, then hit the subscribe button and get a shiny new podcast automatically every Wednesday. While you're on our iTunes page, rate us or leave us a comment there. We really, really like comments. We want to know what you want explained about Columbia. We love to hear from you. So email us at news@kbia.org. Tweet us @KBIA. All right. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.